We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. It's hour two of the Bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald here with you on ESPN Radio. Thank you for joining us here Sunday morning. We spent the entire first hour talking NBA hoops with the Celtics Heat collapse, or whatever you want to label that as. I know we've seen a little bit of chatter on Twitter about whether or not that could be labeled a choke. I mean, I get that it wouldn't be the biggest choke ever because the Heat are an eight seed. It's still a choke. I mean, if it's the first ever 3-0 series lead blown in NBA history, I believe there's I think it was 150 or 0-155 is what it was, teams that were down 3-0 before this. I mean, they have to at least be considered a choke, not the worst choke, but at least a choke. So let's finish off the Rockets conversation before we get into the Astros quickly with another former Rocket, that being Patrick Beverley, talking about wanting to come back to the city of Houston. This was via his podcast on whether or not Beverley thinks returning to Houston is likely.
Is there any chance of you reuniting with him back in Houston?
Very highly.
Very high chance of you going back to Houston?
Very highly.
Of you going back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was one of my, decisions when I got traded from the Lakers. The Houston was one of my, but they told me, Pat, we don't need you right now. You might not play. We need you to mentor young guys, blah, blah, blah. So I still wanted to play, so.
I I don't know where you guys feel on this. I mean, Patrick Beverley, I know you're Googling how old he is right now, Sean, but
34.
34, okay, 34.
We'll turn 35 in July.
Yeah, so he's even older than Harden. And look, I mean, I already questioned what Harden had to offer at, an advanced age for an NBA star. But Patrick Beverley, I mean, especially, if you're bringing back Beverley or bringing back Harden to be the point guard, you got three guys you want to get the ball to with Jalen and Jabari and Şengün. I know that you wouldn't be bringing Beverley here to get the ball to, quote-unquote, but I mean, unless he's on the cheapest of cheap, I mean, what's the point of bringing back Beverley?
He will be on the cheapest.
You think he'll be on the cheapest of cheap?
Yes, he'll be on a minimum contract or pretty
close. What would his role on the team be to you, Sean?
Be probably like...
Coming off the bench, obviously.
Like the fourth guard, I'd say. So you have the two that'll start. Let's just say it's Green and Harden, and then it'll be Porter and... Beverley.
Okay, so maybe 10, 15 minutes a game, something like that?
Yeah, and it'll cost you nothing more than a roster spot. So I think it's fine. Him mentioning
Do you buy into the idea of bringing him here for culture and toughness? Do you think Beverley would have a positive impact in that regard for the young players?
Well, considering that they had none zero of that. Yeah, I think it'd be
the less amount that they can
positive. I think it would be a positive, and they're already at zero. So it'd be good. We're talking about all these trades for Jaylen Brown, Pascal Siakam, trade one of the young guys in the fourth. This is literally hey, you want to play here? You want to be in the NBA? Come to the Rockets.
Where are you at on this, RJ? Do you want Patrick Beverley back here in H-Town?
I think it helps for veteran leadership, especially with the team who I believe is going to go out and try to sign veterans, which veterans, that's yet to be seen. But I do think Patrick Beverley does understand that there may not be many teams out there that are going to be possible suitors for an aging point guard who, is an offensive liability. But for a team where Ime Udoka is going to be preaching defense, 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 I do think that this is a guy that you can bring to your squad, and he can preach that. And I don't know how much, because he just spoke about it in that clip, I don't know how much he's going to be into the mentorship role, but that may be something that he has to do while he's with this Houston Rockets team and be more of a mentor than a guy that's really sitting, you know, going out there and getting quality minutes in the fourth quarter, quality minutes late in games where, you know, it's, hey, we're going to trust this guy and we're going to sit down our young guys. He may have to be more of that mentor.
Yeah, we're not fully – I know as much as Houston sports fans want to just fully run back 2017 in every sport, they're not actually going to do like, all right, our starting point guards for your 2023 Houston Rockets, James Harden and Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen.
The
only reason he started in Chicago after he got released by he got traded from the Lakers to the Magic,
yeah.
Got cut and went to the Bulls because the Bulls point guards were hurt, and so for half a season he got to just be a starting point guard again. There's not going to be that opportunity in the off season because no one's going to have all their point guards get hurt
right
in between now and July.
I do think it'd have to be a conversation that you have with them before the deal gets made, because I like RJ's point in that it'd be nice to have a veteran who's defensive-minded to kind of be the conduit between Ime Udoka and the young players. But in that clip, he talked about last year not wanting to be that guy. So you'd have to have a conversation like, are you willing to do this? And if he is, and you're talking about literally like the minimum of minimum contracts, then I think I'd be on board.
Yeah, there's nothing like particular about Patrick Beverley that I'm like, I want Patrick Beverley for the just any like veteran point guard that can come in at the minimum and just be a professional. Like we've seen DJ Augustine pass through here the last few years. Just someone like that, someone who just has been in the league for 10 years and can be like, hey guys, you're being knuckleheads right now.
Yeah.
Or,
all right.
Hey, here's how you practice. Here's what Udoka wants us to do.
Here's how you don't walk out on the team.
Yeah, exactly. Just like again, the only veteran that they had on last year's team was Boban.
Who's too busy filming Goldfish commercials.
Yeah, love Boban, but he doesn't exactly have the voice in the room the way that
Boban,
Beverly,
voice of reason. Yeah, no, probably not. Let's quickly get into... And I've been teasing this. This is a bad job by me. I've been teasing this probably for way too long. I underestimated how much we want to talk about the Rockets and Celtics Heat. But Joe Espada has some interesting comments on, I believe it was MLB Radio, that has me wondering if we need to have a wellness check on Joe Espada.
You know what? He actually had a pretty serious autoimmune walk. I'm starting to see a few more walks. He's starting to chase a little bit less. He's starting to get his hits. I do believe that the track record speaks for himself, guys. I still think that this guy is going to hit. He is very positive in the clubhouse. He trusts his process. And I think it's just it's early in the season. I know, you know, sometimes our fans really want to see him hit the home runs and do the things that we are used to seeing on Jose Abreu, but I think it's just a matter of time, guys. He's going to click. This guy's been a really good hitter for a very long time, and I think it's a matter of days, of weeks, that we're going to see Jose just get hot and carry our ball club for a while.
I mean, obviously talking about Jose Abreu in that clip, again, that was Joe Espada, Astros bench coach on MLB Radio. So much to get into that. We can't get into everything here in the limited time we have left, but he talked about how he had a really good series against Milwaukee. He did have four hits, which equated to like a .308 average, but none of the hits were extra base hits. He still doesn't have a home run. He had a couple strikeouts, no walks. I mean, the idea that, oh, yeah, Jose Abreu is right there, I mean, I don't buy to begin with. And the idea of him being close to, quote, carrying the team when you have Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, what is Joe Espada talking about here?
Is he just trying to sell
Jose Abreu and pump him up?
Yeah, I think it's the classic, like, you're defending your guy, you're propping him up, you're selling it, and then you get a little carried away.
You started off like, he's turning around a little bit, and then he went way too far.
Once you go to, like, carry the team territory, like, carry the team is what Yordan's doing right now.
Carry
like,
the team was Kyle Tucker has done at times.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve has done in the past. It's not what Jose Abreu is capable
of. That's not even, like, I don't think anyone's reasonably expecting him to do that.
And that's one of the questions we can't get fully into here in the time we have left. But, I mean, what would you even settle for with Jose Abreu? For me, it wouldn't be carry the teams. Like, you know, hit .260. You know, maybe have a full season pace of, like, 15 home runs like you hit last year. Like, if you can get me a decent batting average without, like, the worst OPS in baseball and a few dingers, I'll settle for that, especially now that Dusty's moved you down to the sixth spot where he belongs.
Can I ask for, like, a 500 slugging? Like right. something like that?
I mean,
that?
500 like, slugging would be actually...
Maybe like 450.
I mean, he's slugging down like a 2-something right now.
Yeah, it's very bad.
I'm like, I'll settle basically four.
He basically doesn't hit extra base hits.
No. Yeah, like I said, I mean, Joe Espada pointed out the Milwaukee series. Okay, he went 4-for-13. It's a 308 batting average. Great, but no walks, couple strikeouts, no extra base hits, all singles. And they're not even talking about, okay, you know, not every single is the same. Not to have a Brock Osweiler moment where every interception has a story. Uh-huh. Not every single is the same. It's not like he was hitting these, you know, 100-mile-an-hour exit velocity line drives that dropped in front of the right fielder. I mean, it was ground balls that just happened to find a hole up the middle of the infield. So
he has 7-8 extra base hits this year.
Oh, my God.
They're all doubles.
And Jose,
in case you're wondering, he wheeled out a triple. He didn't.
No, I wasn't wondering.
Okay.
I'm wondering how far Jose Altuve is behind him at this point, because I know he's had a double, I think, in back-to-back games. So he's got to be at least half of what Jose Abreu
is. Also,
he's only played like four or five games. So, and we don't have time to get into it fully, but Jose Altuve has looked pretty nice here since returning from...
Jesus. In six games.
So it is half. Yeah. Abreu has 7, and like Jose Altuve 50, in just a fraction amount of the games has half of that. All right. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get more into the Astros, but they are facing the Oakland single A's. They've won 2 in a row there. Probably want to finish the A's off with another sweep with Christian Javier on the mound today. So at least that is going according to plan. Let's get into next DeAndre Hopkins. Could he reunite with the Houston Texans? He's been released from the Arizona Cardinals. The veteran receiver, now over the age of 30. Would you want him back on the Houston Texans to go along? Feels like a theme today, this young core on the Houston Texans. All that and more on the bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, and Brian McDonald here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Whether I be Nautica or Ralph, been a ton of Calvin, been around the world and I still ain't found that I ain't had yet, cause I got the access, offshore address, surf like Lapras.
You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. It's The Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio. RJ Saunders at RHasNoJ on Twitter. Sean Mapes at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. Myself, Brian McDonald at Sacked by BMAC. If you have any thoughts on anything we talked about, Heat Celtics, the Rockets of Patrick Beverley and James Harden, with what Joe Espada said, the crazy thoughts he had on Jose Abreu, or what we're about to talk about now with DeAndre Hopkins, give us a call on the HRMP listener line. Phone number 713-780-3776. Sean and I were, I think, making ourselves more and more angry during the break talking about the trade that sent DeAndre Hopkins away. And
I'm not even angry.
Well, okay, you were making me angry, detailing all the aspects of it that I was trying to repress from my memory. So in case you missed it, you probably haven't, because it was pretty big news the other day, but DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Arizona Cardinals, is back on the market. I don't expect him to sign with the Texans or even really take the phone call, because I would imagine a receiver of his age with the limited amount of time he has left wants to go try to chase a ring, something that he hasn't been able to achieve yet in his career. But if DeAndre Hopkins were to be interested, RJ, I'll start with you. Should the Texans be interested in DeAndre Hopkins? If Hopkins has interest in them, would you be willing to sign DeAndre Hopkins and bring him back to H-Town?
What are you asking him to be? That's the question that I have. Are you asking him to be a number one receiver on a team that you feel is going to be going from a 6-win team that everyone believes that they could now become a 7-8 win team? Maybe you're on the fringe of getting into the wild card. Are you asking him to be that, or are you asking him to be more of that mentorship role? And I don't think he wants to be that, but two, we feel like we already got that guy in Robert Woods that's going to be our wide receiver mentor. At some point, the Houston Texans are going to have to get a number one receiver, but I don't know if he's going to be the guy at this stage in his career that he's going to, you know, say, listen, I'm here to be the number one receiver on a fringe playoff team that's going to at least take 2 to 3 years before we see the return on investment. So,
and that's exactly the reason why I think DeAndre Hopkins won't come here, because he doesn't have time to wait for that. But if he were interested, my answer to that is no, I wouldn't ask him to necessarily be the number one that elevated the team. It's not as drastic as the conversation we just had about Patrick Beverley about being a mentor, because I think DeAndre Hopkins obviously has way more left than Patrick Beverley does. But I do think, really, this year is not necessarily about, you know, getting an extra couple wins and making the playoffs. This entire season is, I mean, beyond just showing strides, and you do want to see them make a win jump. You can't win three games again. But this entire season is really about developing C.J. Stroud. And the reason I'd be for this, if Hopkins were willing, assuming the contract isn't crazy, is because I want to do everything I can to give C.J. Stroud the best chance to develop. In going into the season with Robert Woods and Nico Collins as your 1 and 2, I don't think gives C.J. Stroud the best chance to develop, or at least not a better chance than having DeAndre Hopkins here on the last couple years of his career. I think you're kind of against it, Sean, yeah. But I mean, that's kind of my reasoning. What are your thoughts on Hopkins?
Yes, the Texans, wide receiver is a place they need to upgrade. Doesn't have to be DeAndre Hopkins. Doesn't have to be a guy who's turning 31 in 7 days.
I don't even care about his age, because I would go into it with the idea of he's not here when we turn it around, and you're still going after maybe a wide receiver in the first round next season. But I just want to give someone more credible for C.J. Stroud to develop with.
I care about it because there hasn't been a 1,000-yard or there's maybe been like 1 or 2 1,000-yard receivers, because Travis Kelce has done it.
Yeah.
Receivers. In the NFL, there's only been like 3 in the last 3 years that have caught for 1,000 yards.
Past the age of 30?
Past the age of 30.
But, I mean, I don't get the hang up on that.
Because if you're not receiving for 1,000 yards, you're not really a number one receiver.
Yeah, but again, I guess what's where
I just don't know. It's just not worth it. Like, if DeAndre Hopkins never played for the Texans, are we having this segment? I think it goes back to all this other stuff where every ex-Texan and ex-Rocket has to come back. They don't.
Yeah, we were joking in the break. It's almost like Houston sports fans are trying to regain their youth from 6 years ago with a nostalgia retort.
Unless they played for the 2017 Astros, chances are they didn't win anything.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to have a, like, oh, come on back, one last ride. It's like, no, get these guys out of here.
I get your side of it, but we're on completely opposite sides of why, like, what you're saying is not what I would even want Hopkins. Like, I mean, to kind of make the point again, like, I don't, it's not necessarily because he's a former Houston Texan,
he's going to elevate 50-50 balls.
Well, I just think he would instantly be the best wide receiver you have. And that's not because, oh, well, he can get you to 8 wins now instead of 6 or 7 wins. I'm not even coming from that end. Again, I just think it'd be best for C.J. Stroud's development to have better wide receivers. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, even at this stage, is better, you know, greater sign Robert Woods and Nico Collins.
No, I agree with that. I just don't, like, I'm just sick of it. Like, this is, it's just irrational. Like, we talk about, Jadeveon Clowney said he's open to coming back to the Texans. And the thing is, the Texans, the Rockets are in the same boat. They're so crappy, I'll say.
You almost dropped one on us?
They're so bad that, they'd make them better. But for what? Like, long-term,
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm not even looking at long-term. Again, I don't even care if he doesn't get them an extra.
What's in it for Hopkins?
Well, right. And again, like, maybe I needed to reset this so that it was clear and obvious. DeAndre Hopkins is not coming here. I mean, he's absolutely not coming here.
He still has a house here. We know how important that is.
I mean, lots of Houston.
James Harden still has a house here.
Lots of athletes that don't even play in Houston have houses. I mean, Adrian Peterson has had a house here for a long time. He never played for the Texans.
It just gets brought up every time, every 3 weeks, the Woj thing about James Harden being interested. It's like, well,
He has a restaurant here, yeah.
Cool. He had all those things when he demanded a trade from
Exactly. No, and look, I don't care if Hopkins is here 2 years from now. I don't care if Hopkins gets them any extra wins. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't even really matter to me that he used to be Houston Texans. I would think I would have, I mean, I would, I assume I would have the same opinion if it was a...
Like Odell Beckham?
Well, Odell Beckham comes with some more off-the-field baggage that makes it a little more complicated. But yes, basically, like any receiver of that elk, I just don't want to go into the season, if I can avoid it, with Robert Woods and whatever he has left when he showed nothing last year with the Titans, and then Nico Collins, who hasn't showed anything ever in his career. It's like... Like, I like the Dalton Schultz ad did alleviate my fears some, because he's at least someone I view as at least a slightly above average at his position. And I just want to surround C.J. Stroud. I don't want to look back 3 years from now. I was like, well, C.J. Stroud failed because he had nothing around him. And it's not even that I would put Hopkins here to be with C.J. Stroud long-term and get the Texans where they want to go. I don't want him having to base his development upon receivers like Nico Collins and Robert Woods. Like, at least give him a fighting chance to, if he has something, that maybe Hopkins can help bring that out of him, give him some confidence, and move his development forward.
Yeah, I guess I also just am not as high on Hopkins as a whole.
I'm wrong. Maybe Hopkins has nothing left.
I feel like just like name wise, like he's a number one in the fact that like he's someone that the defense is like, if he's on this team, like he's the guy the defense would be.
And I think that also would help out. I mean, I spent the last few minutes talking about how it would help out C.J. Stroud, but I think it also would have a benefit to the development of John Metchie and Tank Dell. Like, if not that they'd be going out and facing the number one corner on the opposing team or double teams, but I mean, putting them in a situation where the defense is looking another way, I think helps their development as well. Quickly before we go to break. I mean, I think we're all in agreement, like, he's not going to the Houston Texans. I came up with kind of a list of teams that made sense. Those would be the Cowboys, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Jaguars, and the Saints. Teams that are all either definitely contenders, or in the case of the Saints, are in a terrible division. And I think with Hopkins and a second year... contender by default, you know, with Hopkins... And the second year, Chris Olave, I think they could win that terrible division. RJ, I'll start with you. If you're Hopkins, and if it's a team not on this list, that's fine. Nate, go ahead and tell me who it is. But who would you sign with if you're DeAndre Hopkins?
I have two teams. One, I think, you know, you'll just go chalk and you'll be chasing a championship, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
who wouldn't love playing for a quarterback like that? But there's parts of me that believes that Lamar Jackson's going to talk him into going to Baltimore.
That'd be interesting because they already signed Odell. They drafted Zay Flowers. I mean, I don't know what Rashad Bateman's role this year, but it'd be interesting to see where Hopkins fit into that. Where would you go if you were Hopkins, Sean?
If I was Hopkins, yeah, I'd go to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'd play with the best quarterback and try
not only
to win
the best
a ring.
Quarterback, but I mean, we mentioned kind of like the number one target taking looks away. I mean, the defense is going to be focused on Travis Kelce. Yeah. I mean, like, where else could DeAndre Hopkins go where the defense isn't focusing on him?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be focusing on Travis Kelce.
Or if they are focused on him, well, then right. Travis Kelce's
then Travis gonna Kelce's going to be wide
then,
freaking open.
And then in the second half, they're going to say, you know, we got to focus in on Travis Kelce.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I think for if I was Hopkins, that's what I would want. But, you know, maybe he still wants, like, a good deal because he would have to sacrifice some money to go on, like, the Bills or the Chiefs roster. So if he wants to still make some money, then – I don't know. Maybe like the Jaguars, like you mentioned.
Jaguars, I think, makes sense. I mean, the Giants have so many slot receivers. I mean, I don't think they're as a locked playoff team, but they did make the playoffs last year. So
Giants also would be. Yeah,
I mean, he would instantly be their number one.
How do you say no to a chance to catch balls from Daniel Jones? I like how you started
just
laughing before.
Dripping with sarcasm, yeah.
He made a big deal on the podcast circuit he was on about, like, would you catch balls from a rookie quarterback was like one of the questions. And he was like, I'm past that in my career, which is a very thing to say. Like, I'm past having to.
You know what? I'll defend Hopkins on that, man. He went through years of Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer.
Guys weren't rookies. They're seasoned veterans.
God,
they just were bad.
Okay, Bill. Bill O'Brien. You're going to start telling us that no one in the league has respect for us like they did on Hard Knocks?
No, I'm just saying, if it was Caleb Williams' team,
that changes the conversation a little bit. All right, we got to get out. So next here on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We're taking a little inspiration from Mad Dog Russo, who on, I believe it was First Take earlier this week, got all up in his feelings and delivered a passionate take about Thursday Night Football flexing. And kind of the idea of what opinion do we have, what hot take that pisses us off do we have that we know most people don't really care about. We'll give you ours next, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. ESPN Radio is the Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. RJ Saunders, Sean Mapes, Brian McDonald here. Give us a call, 713-780-3776 on the HR&P listener line. If you have thoughts on anything we talked about earlier, like Joe Espada, the James Harden come back to Houston, or what we're going to get into now, which is was inspired, and we'll play the audio from Mad Dog here in a second. But Mad Dog Russo, who's been is once a week, I think he goes on First
he
Take.
Makes the most of it, though.
Yeah, he does. He gets his shots in. Yeah. But Mad Dog Russo was on First Take earlier this week and had a great rant on Thursday Night Football flexing that inspired what we'll get into after this soundbite of what are some takes that we feel really passionate about, some really hot takes that fire us up that we know basically no one else ever actually cares about. Here's Mad Dog Russo and his take on Thursday Night Football flexing.
Whatever happened to Sunday at 1 in the NFL? I love Hershey too. Michaels is going to the Hall of Fame. But now we got to flex the Amazon on Thursday Night Football. We gave them Friday, Rod, with the Black Friday, with the Jets. Who they playing? Miami?
Miami.
We gave them that. You took $150 million and more money. Now we got to throw Amazon a bone and flex that Thursday night schedule between weeks 13 and 17 while the poor fans who Francis, they can't get on Sunday at 1 o'clock and he finds out 4 days beforehand, sorry, the Giants have moved to Thursday. I mean, this is ridiculous. Enough with the flex schedule. Sunday, 1 o'clock. Play normal football. These games are all over the place.
I don't even know how to follow that. I mean, it's so ridiculous, but I think it's the wrestling fan of me. And, Sean, this is why I think you could get into wrestling if you wanted to. I know RJ is, but that was such a wrestling promo. That was freaking great. I mean,
he could barely talk for some of it.
He was just screaming from it.
The words just could not come out.
Oh, my God. To see, like, Dan Orlovsky, if you watch the video, Dan Orlovsky is just dying in the background laughing. It's just absolutely fantastic.
He's right.
Flexing Thursday Night Football is stupid, but the passion that he gave to that was just amazing. So let's get into a few of ours, things that we care a lot about or gets us fired up like that with Mad Dog Russo. Not that we can exactly match his energy, but we know no one else cares about. And for me, it's, look, Notre Dame football, put the names on the back of the jersey. Look, it's 2023. Oh, play for the name on the front of the jersey. Shut up. I mean, these are million-dollar athletes. They all got NIL deals now. I mean, it's not like they're going to show up and not play hard because, oh, they're playing for no. Like, they already know they're at Notre Dame. It's not like if you take the name off the back of the jersey, they don't know they're at Notre Dame. They still know they're at Notre Dame. Put the name on the jersey. I mean, for no other reason, you should be marketing your athletes. Like, if I'm not a Notre Dame fan and I'm tuning in, I might not know everybody on the roster. But if you have their name on their jersey and they make a great play, guess what? I know who that freaking player is. I just don't get the idea of taking the names out the jersey like it's some camaraderie. I mean, I get Sean pointed this out in the break. Like, I get it when high school football does it because they have to use the same jersey for another kid next year. But you're a billion-dollar corporation, Notre Dame. Put names on the back of your jersey.
Yeah, no, I agree. It doesn't seem to hurt Alabama.
Yeah,
They have the
as Alabama's play dropped off because Bryce Young has his name on his jersey. Did it hurt Derrick Henry from winning the Heisman because his name was on the back of his jersey? Oh. Just ridiculous. Sean, what are you fired up about?
So I had a couple, but I'll go with the most pedantic of the ones that
are
like...
That's a good word. Was that the word of the day on the calendar or something?
No.
That's just floating around in your brain
there? I just
have
that in my bag. Well,
okay.
I don't know.
This
is the most, this is the one that the least amount of people care about. This is the smallest in scale. In the NBA, there's a thing called the bonus that teams that commit a lot of fouls in one quarter go into the bonus. And it is after the fifth foul, the opposing team shoots free throws
right.
When you commit a foul. Announcers and the broadcast do not say that you're in the bonus after the fourth foul. They wait until the fifth foul to say, oh, now they're in the bonus. You're in the bonus after your fourth foul. the next foul, they're shooting free throws.
Right.
But
right.
They wait until after the fifth foul occurs to say they're in the bonus. No, you're in the bonus after the fourth foul.
As soon as you get the fourth foul, you're in the bonus. Because it happens. You're
what?
Shooting free throws.
Next foul, they're shooting free throws. They're in the bonus already. So that, again.
That's perfect for the
second. Remarkably stupid.
Yes, remarkably stupid. Exactly.
Remarkably stupid. But it happened last night in the Miami-Boston game.
I just imagine you sitting in your room watching the game and screaming at...
They're in the bonus!
Harlan! They're in the bonus!
Come on, Reggie! They're already... They've been in the bonus! No, that's exactly... I mean, it grinds my gears so much.
All right,
much.
Peter Griffin. Yeah,
especially in college basketball with the double bonus and the one-and-ones.
I mean, like, we don't...
They're in the double bonus. At nine fouls, you're in the double bonus because the next foul, they are shooting free throws.
I mean...
Sorry.
10-second take. The one-and-one's dumb. What are we doing, college basketball? The one-and-one's dumb. RJ, what are you fired up about? We got a caller here, so you good to go? All right, what are you fired up about, RJ?
Why aren't we mad that teams openly tank in the NFL? Shouldn't there be kind of like a yes. draft lottery system? I mean,
no!
I feel like...
You lost me there. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I feel like there maybe should be a lottery. I mean, with teams that openly tank, it's just a thing of, you know, hey, we're gonna tank this year, and we're going to get the number one overall pick, and then we're going to draft our quarterback. I mean, you know, in the NBA, you see teams that openly tank, but at the end of the day, it still comes down to the ping pong balls. You're not guaranteed the number one pick. Maybe that should be the way in the NFL, maybe. Maybe we should start thinking about it that way. I don't know.
Man, I don't want another lottery. I mean, don't we have – I mean, we already
I
have –
I love how stupid the lottery is.
It's so stupid. Like, I had lunch with a buddy on Friday – and he was fully convinced that the NBA rigged it for the San Antonio Spurs. And like, I can't say that he's definitively wrong other than logic. But I can't tell him he's definitively wrong because they don't film the damn thing. I mean, I think the NBA – I think I heard Greg Frank say this on SportsMap Radio, who was down the hall from us. But they should film it and show it to us.
I mean, I thought they did, and they showed after.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe show it during because maybe people tune off once the actual number one pick is made.
The thing is, they do the draft. They pull the lottery ball for the first team first.
Right.
And so that would take. This is still a made for TV event, so they have to flip it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Because like in this year,
maybe
like,
flip the order then. Maybe flip the order. And not necessarily in the order that you do it. You can still draw the first team first, but just flip the order in what you show. That way, I just...
But then you're editing it. And then what's happening?
Oh, my God.
See,
yeah,
you can't bend the will to conspiracy.
The NBA theorists. Draft lottery is making the frogs gay. Yeah, that's what we're going to wind
gonna
up with.
They're going to have conspiracies no matter what.
Oh, so. That's... It's just, like... I just don't get it. Like, oh, why would you rig the... I mean, I can't say he's wrong, but why would you rig the league for the Spurs? They're a small market team.
2019 should have ended all the rig lottery talk because in a draft that had Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, who's the last...
Right, like, Memphis and New Orleans.
Yeah, go to New Orleans and Memphis, and you know who gets the number three pick? The New York Knicks.
Exactly.
So in a two-player draft, they gave the Knicks the third pick. So I think that... That already is like,
I mean,
what are we
doing? Keep it here in the city of Houston. I'm like, I was obviously a huge Yao Ming fan. We've talked about him on this show and various other topics, like who would you take injuries away from? If it was rigged, there's no way they're putting Yao Ming here in Houston. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. Let's, before we get to, we got just a couple minutes here left, and then we got to get into the worst person in sports this week, what we left from sports this week. But let's quickly go to a caller. We got Jerry, who has a sports take for us here. Jerry, what do you got for us?
Well, I have a trivial question for you that y'all can debate. Zuerlein can't even get this thing right. Now, look, I don't want to pull a Russo on y'all if y'all can't get the answer right. It has a definitive answer, not a, oh, I'd prefer this. But what is better, first and goal from the 9 or first and 10 from the 11?
I mean, I guess... From the 11? Because you could still get a first down?
I guess. But
all right, well.
You're two yards.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. That kind of brought down the momentum of the segment. But we appreciate the call.
Bonus pedantic picks I have.
I thought Jerry was going to give us some like take he's fired up because I guess he kind of is.
An awful question.
I'm guessing he had like a side of that he was very passionate about, but that's not what we got on the air.
The coach of the year problem in both NBA and NFL. It's just say, hey, we thought your team would suck. Turns out they're a wild card team. So here's the coach of the year. We don't give it, we give it to Bill Belichick three times, but we give it to Ron Rivera twice.
All right. Sean redeemed this segment a little bit. I thought the segment was going great. I loved all our takes. And then, yeah, look, I appreciate the call, Jerry, but that was not what we were looking for here. All right. After I buried that caller, we got one more segment to go. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 is the Bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald. We got to get into the worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. That's next on the final segment for the Bullpen this week. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You ain't built like me. I don't call her at all, but she still like me.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio, welcome back in. It's 97.5, 92.5 here in the city of Houston. You've got Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald here in the Bullpen, the producers of ESPN Radio. What we do in the last segment every week, the worst people in sports this week, what we love from sports this week, that's what we will get into right now. Not more trivia calls on the air, which nearly put Sean and I to sleep in the studio. So my worst person in sports this week is not a person, but it's an entire committee. And to best describe these new kickoff rules that I hate so much, let's go to some audio from the Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce podcast on the new kickoff rule and touchbacks inside the 25-yard line.
We're just getting closer and closer to getting rid of special teams. I mean, it's like the only thing left now is punt. When is somebody not going to fair catch it and take the ball to 25? Unless it's just a really bad kick, right?
And it's taken away from the excitement of a kickoff, man. I love watching kickoffs.
I just don't know what are we doing it for then. We're just going to have guys, hey, I'm going to run 80 yards for no reason, and then we're going to start and drive.
So dumb. Like, what?
We're just going to do everything for show, and here's the ceremonial kickoff that's not going to get returned ever.
I mean, Jason Kelce nailed it. Like, why are we having these guys even line up and run down the field and potentially get hurt on a play that we know is going to be a kickoff? This really feels like it belongs in the last segment. But it's just like, look, if you don't want the risk of players getting hurt on kickoffs, I get it. I get, you know, the reasoning behind it because, I mean, it is a place where you can get probably the hardest collisions. Then just take kickoffs out and put it at the 25.
Yeah.
Because not only – I look at it from, I guess, two ways. One – The hypocrisy of the NFL continues with the player safety thing where, like, oh, well, we got to eliminate the kickoff, so we're going to do this weird thing. And if you missed it, basically any ball inside the 25-yard line, you can take a fair catch and have the preceding drive start at the 25-yard line. But if you want to eliminate the kickoff and tell us it's because of player safety, then why are we allowing flexing for Thursday Night Football? Why are we adding an 18th game to the schedule? Just like, stop telling me about player safety when you obviously don't care about player safety. And if you really did, then just take out the kickoff altogether. Because what's going to happen is teams are going to figure out a way like, okay, well, if we kick it in the air, they're just going to take it to 25. But if we squib it, and then you're just unleashing a whole new way for players to get hurt if you just have a bunch of squib kicks with people running down and scrambling for a live football. So just NFL, I hate this new kickoff rule. RJ, what is your worst person in sports this week?
My worst person in sports, I just don't understand what's wrong with him right now. It'll go by a man by the name of Scottie Pippen. Had some interesting words. He's always given his take on the LeBron and Jordan debate. Here was Scottie Pippen speaking with Stacey King on the subject matter.
LeBron will be the greatest statistical guy to ever play the game of basketball. And there's no comparison to him. None. So does that make him the greatest player to ever play the game? I'll leave that out for debating because I don't believe that there's a great player because our game is a team game and one player can't do it. Like, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Scotty there. I don't know what his dilemma
such
is.
An old man get off my lawn saying, like, our game was a team game.
Well, to call Michael Jordan the most horrible player.
His voice is so dry, but it is a good voice.
It's a great voice.
It is a great voice. Just, yeah, I mean, like, I love that he said he wasn't going to get into the LeBron-Jordan debate, and then he gave reasons why Jordan's better. Just like,
by LeBron.
But yeah, it's just dumb. All right, Sean, what's
and
your
I
worst?
I agree with him. Oh, what?
What's your worst person?
Worst person of the week. I feel like every week.
And for the record, you stole mine. This would have been mine as well.
Every week, it feels like mine is a baseball announcer either getting fired or saying something horribly problematic. Well, SEC tournament's going on. Let's hear it.
We can't turn the we can't turn the clock back. I know it's after midnight. We can't turn the clock back and turn it back into the mid-80s and put on a Whitey Herzog team.
Hold on. Can you play that one more time, RJ? I want to point out something in this clip.
We can't turn the we can't turn the clock back.
That's exactly.
Former Astro Chris Burke, by the way, with that. Yeah.
With the. Whoa. Who completely letting his teammate out to dry. Completely. Like, I noticed it. Did you notice it, listener?
Yeah. If you didn't notice it, you did now because it said, whoa.
The bleep, in case you didn't hear this.
Rooster?
The bleep, yes. He mixed up clock
with
and back to black, and he took the L out of clock.
Yeah, yeah.
I
want to give him a semi-pass because, I mean, these baseball games for the college tournaments are running all day long. This is probably like his fifth game of the day that he's calling. Yeah. After midnight. But
if there's a baseball announcer out there that is putting their job in jeopardy, I will play it on this show.
That's one of the tenets of the show. Like
he will be my worst person of the week because I don't want to put him as my best.
Yes, exactly. So, all right, we're done with the anger sharks now. Let's swim over to the sea of tranquility. Yes, thank you, Sean, for the echo there. And the thing I love from sports this week was Buc-ee's getting into the college football recruiting world, and that is because a 3-star wide receiver recruit named Ernest Campbell tweeted out a graphic that Auburn actually sent to him. Because apparently one of Campbell's concerns about going outside the state, he's from Texas, is where am I going to be able to get to Buc-ee's? Like, if I leave the state, am I going to have a Buc-ee's? Well, they happen to, and make sure you go look up the graphics for these, because these graphics are amazing. But Auburn actually sent him a graphic to inform him that Auburn was the only SEC team to actually have a Buc-ee's in their city, which, by the way, good job, Auburn. And what the hell are you doing, Texas A&M? You're in the state of Texas. How do you not have a Buc-ee's in College Station? So, but what made this even better is just what the other teams in the SEC and around college football, even the Seattle Mariners, were following up with after this graphic out. And really, trust me, go look up the graphic. But we had teams like, Lane Miles tweeted out that the Oxford is the only SEC school with a nearby Chevron that sells chicken on a stick. USF head coach Alex Galosh boasted that about a on-campus Publix, and the Seattle Mariners tweeted that they were the only ballpark that would sell you crickets to eat. So just absolutely fantastic recruiting there with Buc-ee's getting a part of it. What is the thing you love the most, Sean?
The thing I love the most is Jalen Green's, I'll say, common sense on Instagram Live. It's uncommon in today's NBA. And let's hear from Jalen Green.
Everybody's common sense. Don't put no pistol out. They rolling, my man. I don't got no gun.
If you're a Rockets fan, there's nothing else that you love more to hear than your favorite player does not have a gun and knows better to show it on camera.
It's a low bar we're setting, but it is. It was comforting. Like, okay, we don't have to worry about him pulling out a gun on Instagram Live.
Anytime a basketball player goes live on Instagram, your heart should stop because something could happen. And there, Jalen Green handled with class.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, RJ. We didn't leave you much time, but you got a quick one before we get out?
Ben Gordon, finally glad that he's getting the help that he needs, and he's going to therapy now after falling from grace after leaving the NBA. So glad Ben Gordon's finally getting the help that he needs out there.
All right, that'll do it for the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Hope to see the Astros finish off the sweep today against the A's, and can't wait for that Game 7 against the Heat and Celtics, although I think everyone in the world is picking the Celtics to finish off that sweep in what should be a really good NBA Finals between the Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. That'll do it for us. For Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, I've been Brian McDonald. Thank you for joining us here on 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be back next week.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.